Says the Gemara at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amad Aleph, Chomesh Esrei Mailis. We began the story, the famous story of David HaMelech. Omalei Reb Chista Lahu Midr Rabbonon. Davaka Masader Agadata Kameh. Reb Chista said to one of the Rabbonon, who was Masada, the Agadaic in Yonim, Omalei Shemiel Lecho. Have you ever heard Hani Chane Chomesh Esrei Mailis? These 15 Shir Amalis in Tehillim, Keneged Mi Omram David. Why did David compose 15? What are they corresponding? So he said, Rabbi Yochanan said the following: B'shah shekora David shittin. When David dug out the shittin, why was he digging out the shittin? So Rashi explained: either this follows the opinion that says that the shittin was not there from Sheshes Me'Bereishis, or even if it follows the opinion that it was there from Sheshes Me'Bereishis, but maybe it became clogged up. So either way, he was digging it out. Kofa tahoima, and the tahoim, remember the depths, began flooding the world. Ubay le mishtafei alma, and there was a real chance that it was going to flood the world. Omar David chomesh esrei mailois. So that's when David composed the 15 prokim of Shir HaMailois. V'hayridon, and the water subsided, the water descended. That's what we saw last time. With the obvious question being, says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, Chomesh Esrei Mailois, exclamation mark. Yoirdois mi boyele. Chomesh Esrei Mailois, Mailois means it's ascending, going up. But if the whole purpose of the story was, to the contrary, he wasn't trying to get the water to ascend, he was trying to get it to descend. So why did he compose 15 Shir HaMalais? He should have composed 15 Shir HaYordais, because he wanted the water to descend. It also does not explain, by the way, what the significance, if at all, of the number 15. We'll soon see, according to the second version of the Gemara, 15 is explained. But according to this first version, we don't really understand why it was 15 specifically. Omalei, so he said to him, Hoyel v'adakarton. Seeing as you mentioned it, Hochi Itma, this is actually the way it should go. B'sha'o Shekara David Shittin. So this is the second version of the story, and this is a very famous episode. When David was digging out the Shittin, Kofa Tahoima, the Tahoim flooded, or began overflowing. Boy, le mishtafe alman, it wanted to flood the world. Omar David, so David says, Mi Ika de Yoda. Is there anybody who knows the following halacha? Now, a bit strange. David HaMelech didn't know the halacha himself. So look at the last Rashi. Mi Ika de Yoda, says Rashi. David Loihoyo Moire Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. David HaMelech was not Meir Halacha b'fnei Rabbi, v'Achitofel, before his Rebbe Achitofel, v'hu hayosham, and he was there. So that's why David was saying, is there anybody who knows the Halacha? It might well have been that David did know, David HaMelech did know the Halacha himself, but he didn't want to paskin it in front of his Rebbe, because Achitofel was his Rebbe. Even though the Mishnah tells us famously that he didn't learn much from Achitofel, he only learned a little bit, but even if you learn a minimal amount, that's got a halachic status of the rabbi. So what did he say? Omar David, mi ike yudiyoda, does anybody know? Ishari, is it permissible, lemichtav shein, is it permissible to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a chaspa? What's chaspa? On an earthenware? Shard, whatever, some piece of earthenware, which will obviously sink because of its weight. And his eitzah was, if you write the Shem Hashem, that will, for whatever reason, cause the waters to subside. So what was the question? Is it mutter to write the Shem Hashem on the chaspa? V'nishdaya, what does v'nishdaya mean? We will throw b'tahoima into the tops, into the depths, umanach, and there it will rest and it will clog up the hole. Now, what exactly was his shaila? Is it mutter? Why should it not be mutter? Because you're raising the name of Hashem. It's an issa to be meichik, the Shem Hashem. presumably the name of Hashem will be erased in the water. Now, this question is it mutter under these circumstances? Says Rashi, Achaspa top Rashi, Mipnei shahacheres tsoilel v'yoyred, because the cheres will sink and descend, ve'enoit sof. It won't float because it's heavy. In order that it should descend and it should rest on the hole which had been unplugged, as it were, and was threatening to flood the world. That was the question. If you look in Sefer Shmuel, it says there, Mufurash Shemotz Oy David, that David in fact found this Cheres Al Pnei Nekev HaTahoim. On the whole of the Tahoim, the cost of boy, it was written on it, Shayashom, Yisheshes, Meibreshes, which would suggest that the Tahoim was there from the Shesh Meibreshes, but perhaps not the Shittim. So this piece of earthenware, which Shaul HaMelech discovered, was in fact there from Sheshes Meibreshes. He now wanted to write the name of Hashem on the piece of Cheres, and that way the water would subside. So that was the question that he announced. Does anybody know the halacha? Leka de ka'omar le midi. There was nobody who said anything to him. Nobody responded. Omar David kol du yoda le meimar. If anybody knows to say. In other words, if there are anybody here who knows the halacha and is refusing for some reason to come forth and to tell me what the halacha is, he's not saying it. He will be strangled by his neck, by his throat. So Achitofel now calculated a kalvachomer on his own volition, by himself. We should just pause, by the way, and just point out something very, very, very important. We know that there are many different ways Shahatoira Nidreshes Bohen. Kavachema, Gzeirashava, Klalo Prato Klal. But we can't go around making up our own Gzeirashavas. I mean, can you imagine what the Torah would look like if we make our own Gzeirashavas? Every time it says the word Es or Oretz or Shomaim or Shulchan, we start comparing and copying and pasting and arriving at all types of strange maskonis. So therefore, we cannot make a Gzeirah Shavah up ourselves. So how is it that we ever have a machloikus about a Gzeirah Shavah? The answer is, as we always explain, because the question is, what was they makabel from their Rebbe? When, however, it comes to a Kal V'Chaimah, that's different. Why is a Kal V'Chaimah different? Because that's pure logic. Therefore, Kal V'Chaimah needn't necessarily be something that you are makabel from your Rebbe. It's something that I could work out by myself. You see Kal V'Chaimah in the Torah. Remember, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me, Eich Yishmo'eini Paroi, how will Paroi listen to me? And Rashi says, yeah, this is one of the 10 places in the Torah that you find a Kal V'Chaimah. So a Kal V'Chaimah is not actually a drosha. It's not a drosha that I'm darshaning the pasuk Zereshava or Klal Uprat, etc., etc., where there you need to have a Maseiras, a Kabbalah from your Rebbe. It's a Kal V'Chaimah. And that's what it means. Nosa Achitofel Kal V'Chaimah Ba'atzmai. He thought of the following Kal V'Chaimah. Not necessarily he was Makabalit, not necessarily there was a source for this, but he made up the following Kal V'Chaimah, which is a very sound logic. And he said, if already to make shalom between man and wife, Omra Torah, the Torah says, Shmi, my name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shenichtav B'Kedusha, Yimche Al Hamayim. As we know, when it comes to the Isha Soita, the whole purpose is to bring Shalom B'Nish L'Ishtoi as opposed to her having to die. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take the paper, write my name on it, and put it in the water. Eilas Mechikas Hashem. So you see that the Torah clearly sanctions Mechikas Hashem for the purpose of bringing peace just between two people. Well, if that's the case, Lasos Shalom L'Kol HaOlam Kuloi, to bring Shalom to the entire world, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, how much more so, it surely must be Mutter. Because by this way of putting the Shem Hashem on the Cheres, and then hopefully the water will be subsiding, and not just bringing Shalom between a couple, but rather between the whole world. Otherwise, there's a serious risk of a flood. Says Rashi, Lasos Shalom Bein Ish Leishto, in the second wide line, Livdeik Es HaSoita, to check the Soita, V'im Tehoirahi, and if indeed it turns out that she is pure, Yehi Shalom Bein Ehem, there will indeed be Shalom between them. That is the purpose of this whole exercise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shmi Shenichtav B'Kedusha Shekasa B'Megillah, because it says in the Megillah, which Megillah? The Megillah of the Soita. It says that when the Isha Soita comes, you have to take a Sofa, and you ask him to write out the entire Pasha, and on a Megillah, on a parchment. And what does it say there? Yitein Hashem Oischa. You write the Shem Hashem, Kedaksiv, V'kosav, Isha Olo, Isha Ela, as the Pasuk in Pasha's Nosoi exactly instructs, you have to write the Shem Hashem on this Megillah. And yet, it's erased for the purpose of bringing Shalom between Ish L'Ishtu. So Achitofel has proved, not by medium of a drosha, but rather through the logic of a kal v'chomer, that what? That this is perfectly permissible to do, not just permissible, it seems to be the correct thing to do. Omale, and therefore he said, Shari, based on my kal v'chomer, I reached the inescapable conclusion that indeed it is permissible. Kosav Shem Achaspo. So indeed, they wrote the name of Hashem on earthenware. The Shodi L'Tahoimo, and they threw it into the Tahoim. The Nochis Tahoimo. And the Tahoim, these waters, they subsided. Shitzar Alfi Garmidi. 16,000 garmidi. What's garmidi?
An amma.
An amma. 16,000 garmidi. That's how much the water subsided. Ki chazi d'nochis tuva. When he saw that the water had subsided a lot, Omar, he said, kamo d'midli tfei Mirtav Alma. What does midli mean? Dli is a bucket with which you raise the water. So, kama de midli, the more the water is raised, tfei, mirtav Alma, the more the world will become moisturized. In other words, even though I'm very thrilled that the water has subsided, but I don't want it to subside 16,000 garmidi to the core of the earth. I'd much rather that the water rose, not above the earth's surface, obviously, because then it will flood the world, but rather close, very close to the earth's surface. And therefore, says David, HaMelech, I wish that the water would have risen, at least, or subsided, but not 16,000 garmidi. I wish it would have subsided a little bit, but would remain close to the earth's surface, and that way it would keep it moist. Again, Kichazi denochis tuva, when he saw that the water subsided a lot, Omar kamod midli tfei miritav alma. The more it will be raised, the more the, what does miritav mean? Miritav from the word ratuv.
Moist.
The world will be more moist. So at that point, what did he do? Let's briefly see a Rashi, third wide line at the end. Kamod midli tfei miritav alma. Kamo shahatahoim gavoya. The more that the Tahoim is high up, v'samuch la'aretz, and is close to the ground, mislach le'ach ha'olam, the more the world will become lach. What does lach mean?
Moist.
V'ha'aretz matzmeches peiroseho. And that way the ground will sprout forth its peiros. So therefore, I'm thrilled that the water has subsided, but I'm not so delighted that it subsided that much. 16,000 garamidi. So what did he do? Omar Chamesh Esrei Mailois. So he said at that point, 15 Shir Hamalois. And what happened? Va'aske. And the water rose. Chamesar Alfe Garmidi. And it rose 50, which means Va'ukme. And it stood Va'alfe Garmidi, 1,000 amas away from the earth's surface, which was apparently the perfect amount. So now, what do we understand from here? First of all, we understand why they're called Shir HaMa'alois and not Yoridois. To the contrary, this was not to cause the waters to subside. Following its subsiding, he had to then go and raise the water. That's why it's called Ma'alois, but also we understand why 15. Each one to raise the water by 1,000 garamidi. Says Rashi, Omar Tezvov Mizmoirim, 15 songs of Shir HaMa'alois. Says the Gemara, Omar Ula. So Ula said, Shma Mino. What is it that I learned from this story? Sumcha Da'ara Alfi Garmidi. Says Rashi, Sumcha Da'ari Oivi Ha'oretz, the thickness of the ground until the Tahoim, is now just 1,000 garmidi. In other words, if you want to know where will you find water, how much are you going to have to dig? 1,000 garmidi. That's what I learned from this story. Because it subsided 16, it rose 15, so it's 1,000 deep. With the obvious question being, v'ha chazinon, but surely that we see that's not the case. We see that what? De karinon purta. When we dig even a little bit, v'nofkimaya, and water does emerge. So how can we understand this story with Ulla's analysis that water is only to be found at the depths of 1,000 garmidi? But we know that when you dig a little bit, whatever, 3 or 4 amas, however much it may be, you find water. So how do we jive that? How does that work out? Says the Gemara, Omar of Masharashia. So Masharashia explained, Hahu Misulma de Poras. That is from the ladder of Pras, Persia. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Sulmi de Poras, Mailois, Hoasuyois, Kemechilois. Mechilois, I think, are tunnels.
Like a cavity in the.
Right. There's like tunnels in the ground. Shebohen, through these tunnels, may pras, the water from the Nahar pros, oilin tachas harakia, it rises through the tachas hakarka. So it's true. If you want to reach the tahoim, how much are you going to have to dig? 1,000. Why is it that we find water at much less of a depth? That's different water. That's not from the Tome. That's from the Mei Pras. Why from the Mei Pras? Says Rashi, Lefi, She Pras Govoya Moitzoi Moid. Its existence is very high. Kedamrinam Bebechayres, as it says in Bechayres, Kol Hanahores Lematomi Pras. All other rivers are lower than Pras. Pras is, as it were, the highest water source. Umayim hayoitzim mehar govoya, and we know the water that flows out from a high mountain, im derech mesukan lohem, if it's a derech mesukan, what does a derech mesukan mean? If there is a smooth path, then it will flow. It can't flow upwards, but it will flow oilin al har kayoitze boy, then it will reach a mountain which is similar to it. But not more. Water can't flow upwards. Lefichoch af hachoifrim bahorim shebabovel. Therefore, also those who dig in the mountains in Bovel, hasmucha leporas, which is very close to Poras, So the water tunnels its way through these holes in the ground. It can't rise upwards. Water doesn't flow upwards, but it will reach mountains of a similar height, and therefore Moitzin Mayim, you will find Mayim. So therefore, it's true. If you want to know why it is that water is found at a very shallow depth, it's not from the Tahoim. The Tahoim you need to reach 1,000 Garmidi. This is from Paras. So when the Gemara asked that we see, who's we? Where's we? In Bavel. So the Gemara, yeah, Bavel is very close to Paras. If Bavel is very close to Paras, Paras is very, very high up, and therefore that's why we find water very high up. You don't need to dig that deep. The Omdu, says the Gemara. So that really ends this sugya. So we now understand the 15 Shira Ma'alos, where it came from, why they called Ma'alos and not Yerdos, and why there were 15.
Okay. How does that explain the 15? The Ma'alos.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that relate to the same?
I don't know.
Because Lu means going up.
Yeah.
Could have been going up as well.
I don't know. Va'omdu koyanim b'shar ho'elyoin sheyoyit. Remember it says, if you look back in the Mishnah in Daf Nun, base, Nun Aleph on the base. The eighth line from the top. It says, Va'omdu they say shira, va'omdu shnei koyanim b'shar ho'elyoin sheyoyit mezes Yisrael. Says he used to blow the shofar. He gio la mailo asiris, and he got to the 10th step. Got it circled there. Mailo asiris. Now, our question is, what does the 10th step mean? 10th step from the top or from the bottom? Says the Gemara, boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, what does that mean? La mailo asiris. To the 10th step. Does that mean to Nochis Chamisha that they went down 5 stairs? In which case, which step are they standing on? V'koi, and which means they're standing Asara on the 10th step from the bottom. Oidilma, no, to Nochis Asara. Maybe means they went down 10 steps V'koi Chamisha, and in fact standing on the 5th step. Someone says Teku, we leave it unresolved. Says Rashi V'koi Chamisha. Omdu al chamisha. What does it mean? They stood on the 5th step. Sha'adayin yesh hei mailos, which would mean that there are still another 5 stairs. Leireid ad Ezra's Noshim, to go down right to the bottom to the Ezra's Noshim. So that's the question: is it 5 from the top, 5 from the bottom, or 10 from the top, 10 from the bottom? The Gemara leaves it unresolved. We do not know. Okay. Honorabonon, mi mash mashenemar upneim kedma. If it says in the pasuk that their face was kedma to that particular direction, eini yodea, do I not know sheachoreim el heichal Hashem? If I tell you that you're facing this wall, well, I know obviously that your back is to that wall. There's no need to go and emphasize that your back is to that wall. It's inherent by saying your face is that to that wall. Is there lama talmud lema achareim al heichal Hashem? So why did it need to say that their backs was to the heichal Hashem? This is a pasuk in Yechezkel. If you look in Rashi, Rashi explains. Mimash ma shenem opneim keidmo en yedea shachareim al heichal Hashem shahayu oimdim bepesach haheichal. They were standing by the entrance to the Heichal. Kedeksiv, as it is written, Bereshit Akra, in the beginning of that very pasuk, and it says, V'hine Pesach Hechal Hashem Ke'esrim V'chamisho Ish. By the Pesach to the Heichal Hashem, there are about 25 people there assembled. Now, V'loy Havaleila Michtev, it's surely unnecessary to write anything but Elo. Upnehem Kedmo. Umameila Yodano. What does that mean, Umameila Yodano? And I automatically know Dachareya Melechal Hashem. Why? Shehechal Hu B'ma'arov U'pishoi B'koisol Mizrahi. The Heichal is on the west side, its entrance is on the east side. Therefore, if you're facing towards the east, then obviously you've got your backs to the west. Why is it explaining? Why must it say Acharei Melechal Hashem? If you remember, by the way, we saw in the Gemara in the Mishnah, in fact, that this initial generation were not tzaddikim. That's why they had their backs to the Heichal Hashem. And that's why the later generation will say, yeah, Avoseinu had our backs. But we don't. To the contrary, we focus completely on HaKadosh Baruch. But either way, what's this emphasis that their backs were to the Heichal Hashem? I can work it out. Says the Gemara, a very frightening thing. Melamed. Do you know what this comes to teach us? Shehayu poirin atzmon umatrizin klapei mato. What it means is, says Rashi, mafriin or poirin, megalin. They would expose themselves, umatrizin rei, and they would relieve themselves. In other words, the emphasis on their backs to the Beis HaMikdash means not just the way they were standing, but what they were doing whilst they were standing there. They were so rebellious against HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they exposed themselves and they relieved themselves in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we're not just being told geographically where were they standing. Rather, the emphasis is they had their backs towards the Beis HaMikdash, and what did they do whilst they were there? They relieved themselves in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how rebellious they were, this early generation.
Why does Rebbe find it necessary to bring that in the mission?
No, the emphasis is on the second generation. No,
I understand that, but why?
As a tikkun. Yeah, why do you have to go and do it? But as a tikkun, we're being masake, we're fixing up the avera of the early generation. What did they say? Anu lakar, v'lakar einenu. Whilst our forefathers stood their backs to the Beis HaMikdash, as described, we are the exact opposite. We are all focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anu lakar, lakar einenu. Says the Gemara, eini. Is that true? Is that what they said? V'ha'omar Reb Zeira, surely Reb Zeira said, Kol ha'omar Shema Shema, Ki'ilu Omar Maidim Maidim. If you say Shema twice, it's as bad as saying Maidim twice. What's halach if you say Maidim twice? Don't we all say Maidim twice? We say Maidim in Shmona Esra, and then we say Maidim Rabbonon in Chazar Sashatz. The answer is, you're right. But you can't say the word Moedim twice in succession. If you merely say the words Moedim, Moedim, I'm thanking, then it sounds like you're thanking two different existences. So the Mishnah in Bracha says, whoever says that, you immediately silence him. Don't talk like that. Whether you mean it or don't mean it, but that's certainly the inference. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara is telling you, so too, when you say Shema twice, again, why are you saying Shema twice? Who's talking? Sounds like, again, as if there's two existences, as if there's two HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, Chas V'Shalom. So what's the question? How does that relate to our Mishnah?
Based on what you say.
Because you're saying twice. You're saying Anu Lekar, Ulekar, Enenu. If you say the word Hashem twice in succession, you can't do that. Says Rashi, if you say Shema Shema, Psuka Psuka, Vatonilo. Each pasuk, you said Shema Shema twice. That's the way you learned it. So then that is like, Imamaydim Maydim, the Tanan, Meshat Kin Oise. You have to silence him. Why? Mishum the Mechzi, because it appears, Kishtei Rishuyos, as if there's two Rishus. There's a Rishus of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's another existence, another Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. So if you have to silence him, same thing if you say Shema twice, Moedim twice. So why is our case any better? Hello. Hachi Amri. So this is in fact what they said. They bow down in an easterly direction. Va'onu l'ka mishtachavim. That's the way the Bach is goes. We are bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'einenu l'ka miyachalois. And we are hoping, our hopes and daven tefillahs are towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So have we answered the question? Because it's clearly two separate inyonim. I'm saying I'm bowing down to Hashem, and I'm also miyachal b'Hashem, I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's two separate things. Says Rashi, Onu l'ka mishtachvim v'l'ka einenu miyachalois, d'kiven since da'atrei mili. What does it mean, atrei mili?
Two
separate things. Komid karlei. You are mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Trei zimni, twice. V'lav achoda milsi trei zimni. You're not mentioning Hashem's name twice with regard to one subject. Rather, you're mentioning Hashem's name twice with regard to two subjects. Therefore, less lon ba, therefore there's no problem in it. So if you say, I'm bowing down to you, Hashem, Hashem. Well, that would be also. Why? Because how many subjects are there?
One.
If I would just say, I'm bowing down to you, Hashem, Hashem. That's one subject. So I'll be also to say Hashem's name twice. But over here, I'm not saying one subject. I spoke about being mishtachaveh, and I spoke about being miyachel. It's two separate subjects. I mean, you can say Hashem's name twice. You can say 1,000 times as well. That brings us to the end of the sugya. I think we can move on to the next. This was a lengthy, lengthy piece of Agadata. In fact, two daf straight, basically of Agadata, but the next Gemara is back to Halacha. Not quite till the end of the Masechta, but almost still. There is a little bit further more Agadata. Okay. It's not the Halacha mission. Let's make a start, and then we'll continue, all being well, next week in Mitzvah Hashem. Ein poichasim, there was never less, me esrim v'achas tkiyos v'mikdosh. There were tkiyos, they used to blow, we'll see in a minute when and how and what, in the Beis HaMikdosh. There were never less than 21. Ve'ein moisifin anal borim v'shmoina. But there were never more than 48. So minimum 21, maximum 48. Says Rashi. May esrim v'achas tkiyos. B'kol yom, every single day. Every day in the Beis HaMikdosh, there were at least 21 tkiyos. K'demafarish v'ozil, as we will soon explain, where the number 21 comes from. Pshuto lafoneho, upshuto laachareho. What does that mean, pshuto? What we call straight, a tkiyah, straight kiyah, simple sound. Before and afterwards, v'trua be'emtza. Choshev late, last, that's considered three. Have you ever heard somebody who's saying, after Rosh Hashanah, yeah, the Baal Tekeah, the Tekeahs went very well? What do you mean the Tekeahs? What about the Shvarims and the Truas? The answer is that the word Tekeahs is, as it were, the collective word for all...
three.
For all the different sounds. Now, I think we've mentioned in the past, it's very, very, very important in order to understand our sugya, a little bit of the background. The same is true, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah. We know we blow all different noises and all different sounds. What does it actually say in the Torah when it comes, for example, to Rosh Hashanah? It says one word. Yom Trua. It's a day of Trua. So what do you have to blow on Rosh Hashanah? You have to blow a Trua. Fine. It happens to say it three times. Okay, so therefore you've got to blow a trua three times. So how many koilos do you have to blow? 3. Where do we get 30 and 60 and 100 from? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the end of Rosh Hashanah, says, also we learn from Sukkim, that every truah needs what?
Has to be surrounded by
tekiahs. It's a sandwich. There's always a tekiah before and a tekiah afterwards. Every single one. So a truah, by definition, if it's like saying to you, if I say to you, here, have some jam. Obviously, you know there's 2 pieces of bread on either side. So there's bread, jam, bread. Tekiah, truah, tekiah. Times 3 is 9. What is the famous problem, however? We don't really know what a truah is. That's with regard to Shefa. It might be a Shvarim, it might be a truah, or it might be both. So what do? Everything.
All possible.
So we do 3 times 3, and then 3 times 3, and then 3 times 4. So it's 9 and 9, which is 18, plus 12, which is 30. That's where we get the magic number 30 from, which is really the minimum that you must hear in order to be Yotzei your mitzvah d'oraisa on Rosh Hashanah. Where we get the 60 from, and the 70, and the 100, that's not our inyan at the moment. But the same is true over here, Rashi's telling us in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Even though, by the way, we'll soon see they weren't necessarily blowing with a shofar. What were they blowing with?
Trumpets.
Trumpets. But it's the same principle. You need a truah, but a truah always has to be preceded and also followed by a tekiah. And that's called 3 tekiahs, even though technically it's not. It's 2 tekiah and a truah. But that's what it means. So when we say 21 tekiahs, what do we really mean? Tekiahs and also truahs. The collective noun for all of the collective word for all of the different sounds is tekiahs. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Ein poichasin me esrim va'achas tekiahs v'migdash. There were never less than 21 tekiahs in the Beis HaMikdash, ve'ein moisifin amal abroim v'shmoina b'chol yoyim. Or ve'ein moisifin amal abroim v'shmoina. There were never more than 48. B'chol yoyim. Every day there were at least 21. That's how we said before, there's never less. How do you get to 21? Very simple cheshbon, says the Mishnah. Shalosh lepsichas sha'arim. They used to open the Hazara in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning. There used to be 3 tekiahs. Now, what does that mean, 3 tekiahs?
Tekiahs in
the Torah. Truah, tekiah, that's 3. Says Rashi, Shalosh lepsichas sha'arim, Sha'arei ha'azara. When he used to open the gates, it was amidst great fanfare. 3 tekiahs, or to be more accurate, tekiah, then a truah, and then a tekiah, and that's your 3. Then, what's next? V'teisha letomid shel shachar, v'teisha letomid shel beinu arbaim. They used to blow a further 9 for the morning tomid, a further 9 for the afternoon tomid, and that's how we get to the number of
21.
9 and 9 is 18, plus 3 is 21, says Rashi. Teisha le tomid shol shachar, kishahayu menaschin es nischei hatomid, when they used to do the pourings, the libations of the nesachim of the tomid, halaviyim oimrim bashir. The Levim would sing. Oh, Shloisha Prokim Hoyu Bashir. Shahoyu Mafsikim Boy. There were 3 Prokim, there were 3 stanzas, 3 verses in the Shir. Shahoyu Mafsikim Boy. What does that mean, Shahoyu Mafsikim Boy? You speak a Hefsek. In other words, they didn't sing the Shir from beginning to end in one shot, but rather they used to take breaks in the middle, and used to cut it up, divide it up into 3 parts. V'toikin ha-koyanim b'chatzoitzres. And the koyanim used to blow in the trumpets, u'mishtachavim ha'om. And the assembled nation, whoever happened to be there, the Beis HaMikdash, would bow down. K'detanan Mosechvas Tomid, as we learned in Mosechvas Tomid, it says, higiyu l'perek. When they got to the perek, what does it mean to the perek? When they got to the end of the verse, Toku, they blew on the shofar, Vishtachavu Ha'om, I'll call Perek, Tekiah, va'al kol tkiyo ishtachavoya. So every perek there was a tkiyo, and every tkiyo there was a bowing down. Va'al kol tkiyo, like we said before, is a trua ba'emtza upshuta lefoneho v'la'achareho. Whenever we say the word tkiyo, what do we really mean? Sandwich, a trua sandwich.
So that means it was bowed down three times.
Correct. So that's how we get. So for each korban, they sang the shira. It was divided up into three. At the end of each one, they used to blow a tkiyo, trua, tkiyo. Everybody there used to bow down. So that's three times three is nine. Nine for the first korban, nine for the second, that's 18, plus the initial three when they opened up the Azorah, and that's how you got to 21.
Nine shofar blasts, but three bowing.
Correct. It's really, yeah, three for the Tomid Shel Shachan, three for the, yes, it's nine altogether, six altogether. So that was on a regular day, because as we know, the Tamidim, Tomid Shel Shachan and Tomid Shel Bein Arabayim, were sacrificed every single day of the year without fail. It makes no difference, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yom Tov.
Nine bowings.
Why nine bowings?
We're saying that they bowed three times, then they would blow three...
For each three tkiyah, each group.
Yeah, after each pair.
One for each sandwich.
For each pair.
Yep.
No, they were down. Wait a minute.
Each parak, they used to blow three.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean, blow three? Tkiyah, trua, tkiyah.
And how many times would they bow down during that each point?
Once for each group. Okay. Once for each group.
No, I understood maybe that you would say they would do it three. For each of the three.
Too much exercise.
So that's how we get to the number 21. Three when they opened the Beis HaMikdash. Nine, Tomid Shel Shachar. That's up to 12. Plus another nine, Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. You're up to 21. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Uba Musafim. On those days when there was a Korban Musaf, for example, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. So then in addition to the korban, Tomid Shel Shachar, and Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, there was another korban, i.e., the Musaf. So it's another nine. Hoyu Moisif in Oid Teisha. So where are we up to now? 30, says Rashi. Uba Musaf in Beyayim Sheyesh Boim Musaf. Moisif in Oid Teisha, Lashir Shom Musafin, for the singing of a Musafin. So it's 21 plus 9. So 3 times 9 is 27 for the three korbanos. Plus three when you open the Beis HaMikdash is 30. Now, Uba Erev Shabbos, on a regular Friday, Hoyu Moisifin Sheish, there was another six. Shaloish Lahavdil, Lahavtil Esa'omim Melacha. Three, two, be mevatel, to tell everybody to stop working. Which of course is the source of our Shabbos siren. Our Shabbos siren, which says, okay, that's it, time for Adlakas Neiris, it's Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So, how many would you blow on a regular Friday then?
Six.
Altogether, on a regular Friday? 27.
No. Oh, yeah, there's numbers.
Because 21.
Yeah, this is
yeah, 21 plus 6.
Right.
If that day happened to be, for example, Rosh Chodesh, then it would be 36. Because we said whenever there's a Musaf, there's 30. Okay. It says Rashi. Shloisha lahavtil ha'omim alocha kedem afarish, as is explained, b'shili perek b'me madlikim, b'in kodesh l'chayil k'shekideish hayoim. When the day is becoming holy, lohidia, to inform everybody, shechashecha, it is becoming dark, therefore you must know, v'yesh me'ato chiev skila b'malocha. And there is from now, and it's a skila, chiev skila, if anybody does malocha, so therefore be well. Says the Mishnah, v'ayta, erev Shabbos, shabbatoich hachag. So what's the maximum that we could possibly conjure up so far? 36. Because we're told that in addition to the extra, the 21 on every day, there was an extra 9 when there was a Musaf, and an extra 6 on an Erev Shabbos. So if Erev Shabbos happened to have a Musaf, for example, it was Yom Tov, or it was Rosh Chodesh, it'd be 21 plus 9 is 30 plus 6. That's the most. But we were told before that the maximum is not 36, but rather is 48. So when was that? Says the Mishnah, I'll tell you. Erev Shabbos, Shabbatoich Hachog. Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, Hoyisham Arboim V'Shoina. Then there were in fact 48. How on earth did you get to 48? So Rashi says, the Gemara Mishnah says, I'll tell you. Firstly, Shalosh Lepsichas Sha'arim. Like they had?
Every day.
And every day. They've had no news so far. We're up to 3. Now, we know that the Simchas Beis HaSheiva, when they got to each Shara, they blew, as we said before. When they got to the Shara Elyoin, Shalosh L'Shara Elyoin, V'Shalosh L'Shara Tachtoin, V'Shalosh L'Milui Hamayim, 3 to the top gate, 3 to the bottom, and 3 for the filling of the water. So where are we up to so far? 12. V'Shalosh Al Gab HaMizbeach, when they finally got to the Mizbeach and they poured the water, not filled it, there's another 3, so we're up to now 15. Teisha L'Tomen Shal Shacha, V'Teisha L'Tomen Shal Bein Arbaim, it's another 18, so that's 33. V'Teisha L'Musafin, another 9 because it's Musaf, so we're up to 42. But remember, this was Erev Shabbos. So there's always another 6. Shalosh lahavdil esa'om min ha-malacha, v'shalosh lahavdil bin kodesh l'chol. So when you're doing the Beis HaShoeva, when you're doing the Nisuch HaMayim on Erev Shabbos, and you've got Musaf, so how much does the Nisuch HaMayim add for us? 12. Sorry, 15.
No, because you already have the Psichas of Sharon.
Right, you already counted that.
Already there in the first 3, the first 21.
Right. So you have Shara Elyoin, Shara Tachtoin, Milia Maimus, that's 12. Okay, 12. Plus, huh? That's 12. Plus the initial 3 when they open the Beis HaMikdash, that's 15. There's 3 Karbonos, Shachar, Benarbaim, and Musuf, that's 27. 9 times 3 is 27. So 15 plus 27 is 42. Because it was Erev Shabbos, so it was an extra 6. Says 48. Says Rashi, first wide line. Shalosh lepsichas ha-sha'arim. Says Rashi, yeah, come on, b'kol yom. Just like every day. Shiva sha'arim ha-yom b'zara. There were 7 gates, they needed to be opened. 3 blasts. Shalosh l'shara elyoin da'omra le'el, because we said above in the Fnun Aleph, in the Mishnah, Korah ha'gever, in the morning, toku v'hiriyu v'toku. That's a tkiya, true tkiya. Shalosh l'shara tachtoin again, da'omra le'el, he'giyu la'azara, toku v'hiriyu v'toku. V'hoyu ma'arichin, and they would do very long blows, ad she'giyu l'shara yitzel mizrach, v'hu shara tachtoin. Now, everybody should have asked the question, you know what we've missed out? Didn't it say when they got to the 10th step that they stopped? Well, but Gemara Mefarish, the Gemara will indeed explain, Amai loy choshiv, why didn't we consider also Shalosh al Mailo Hoasiris? Okay, but for whatever reason, we didn't. So we're up to 9 so far. 3 opening the gates, 3 Shara Elyoin, 3 Shara Tachton, that's 9. Shalosh l'milui ha'mayim achar shemolu, after they filled it, v'shavu bo'on, and then they returned, lo'em ba'azoro, derech shar ha'mayim. And once again, the Tanan le'el, we learned above in the previous perek, lulav ha'arova, higiyu l'shar ha'mayim, toku v'iriyu v'toku. So we're up to 15. So we're up to 12 now. Then, shalosh l'gaba mizbeach, k'she zik v'nesu ha'arova, and again it says v'toku v'iriyu v'toku. So now we're up to 15. Plus the 3 karbonos is another 27, is 42. Plus it was Erev Shabbos, another 6 is 48. So minimum 21. And every day there was 21. On Musafin there were 30. If it was also Erev Shabbos,
another six.
There's another six, that's 36. So Sukkos had all of those 36. Where'd you get the extra 12 from? Shar Elyon, Shar Tachtoin, Milya Mamayim, and the Mizbeach. Another 12, 36 and 12 is 48. Very simple. Okay, we'll hold it over here. And Mitzvah Hashem will reconvene.
Sunday.
All be well on Sunday morning, yeah.
All go well tomorrow.
Amen. Okay. If you can have it.